The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Lisa Bernhard for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Kids on the Go. Kids on the Go is generously supported by the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Sports Illustrated for Kids. Let's start with the warm-up story, hot take. Shorten my sports. There's a famous line in William Shakespeare's play Hamlet. It says, "Brevity is the soul of wit." According to the SparkNotes version of the play that I read, it means that if you're trying to say something clever or funny or smart, you shouldn't use too many words. To which I say, if Shakespeare is so clever, how come Hamlet is a 4 hours long play? There's some brevity for you, Bill. A 12-word roast. Boom. The thing is, Shakespeare has a point. There's something to be said for cramming as much good stuff as possible into a small period of time. Have you ever eaten a whole bag of mini donuts during one sitting while watching Major League Baseball manager arguments compilations on YouTube? Now compare that rush to eating one mini donut a day for like 2 weeks. It's not quite the same, is it? This holds true for sports. Not the mini donut eating part. Most sports nutritionists and all parents will push back against the notion of housing a bag of donuts in 90 minutes. But the idea that something less is more certainly rings true, especially in sports. Most games are just too long, which is something you tend to realize when you see a shorter, more concise version. Take baseball. In recent years, MLB added a pitch clock and took other measures to shorten the length of games. The average time of a 9-inning contest has dropped from 3 hours and 3 minutes in 2022 to 2 hours and 38 minutes last year. And fans don't seem to mind getting less baseball for their ticket price. This is due to something called diminishing marginal returns, which I think I read about in the SparkNotes version of Scottish economist Adam Smith's seminal 18th century treatise, The Wealth of Nations. Or it might have come to me in a sugar-fueled fever dream after I ate a whole bag of mini donuts in an hour. I'm not really sure. Consider other sports. Rugby sevens is a massively abbreviated version of the full game. Half as many players, 7-minute halves, and it's one of the most popular events in the 2024 Olympics. At the Winter Games, mixed doubles curling was a breakout sport in 2026. It features two players, as opposed to four, throwing five stones, as opposed to eight, over eight ends, as opposed to 10. I know what you're going to say. Kip, your generation is full of kids with short attention spans. And to that I say, it's a nuanced issue that, hey, is that a raccoon over there? Awesome, man. Raccoons rule. That was a joke, by the way. Maybe it could have used a little more brevity, but I'm still getting used to the concept. Anyway, one of the great things about the mixed doubles curling matches is that two players are doing the work of four, which ratchets up the pressure on them. Imagine if the NBA got rid of timeouts in the last 2 minutes of games. Let's say teams can still call a timeout to advance the ball or get out of a potential turnover jam, but instead of letting players huddle and develop a strategy with their coach, we just start the game back up right away. Not only will it save time, but it will require the players to come up with a solution to whatever conundrum they're facing. Teams that are well coached ahead of time will have a huge advantage. I've got some other ideas to shorten other sports. In soccer, when a player is writhing around on the ground for every second they hold up the game, they should have to sit out 2 seconds before they can return. Call it the miraculous healing time rule. For football, just play 12-minute quarters, but also shorten the play clock so that we get the same number of plays per game. In tennis, let's eliminate deuces in a 5-set match. Once you get the 40-40, the next point wins the game. For swimming, in races longer than 800 meters, we should allow the use of those trolling motor fishing boats. Sorry about this. For swimming, in races longer than 800 meters, we should allow the use of those trolling motor fishing boats use. No more than 5 horsepower, though. I've got plenty more, but I don't want to ramble on for too long. As I've shown, sometimes stopping short is the right move. And here's some reader engagement. You write it, we'll draw it. Sports Illustrated Kids wants to read your sports stories, and we'll illustrate the best one for our next issue. Your story could be based on your life or completely made up, as long as it's under 350 words. Have an adult send it to artgallery@si.com with the subject line, Sports Story. Be sure to include your name, date of birth, and state of residence. Don't use ChatGPT, we'll know. Here's one Kip wrote to give you an example. It's Out of Here by Kip Shoremore. It was the bottom of the ninth when Buzz brought out the experimental baseballs. He took the mound and held one up to the sun. It glowed a color that could only be described as science green. He spit, wound up, then hurled a mean knuckleball at Penny, who walloped it over the top of the treehouse. It landed, kersplunk sizzle, right in the lake. Next, Buzz zinged a fastball at Whitney, who crushed it miles into the woods. Man, these new balls are wild, I thought. Tie game, Liz called out from behind her ump mask. Kip, you're up. Gulp. I gripped the bat over home plate and dug a heel into the dirt. What otherworldly pitch was Buzz planning? And could I seal the game right here and now? The ball sparkled as it zoomed towards me. I swear I saw it do a loop-de-loop midair. But for an instant, things went slow-mo, and my Kip stink locked in, and crack! I sent the pitch hurling into the stratosphere. It went higher and higher, my heart soaring with it, until I lost track of it in the clouds. Suddenly, I felt my feet go out from under me as my teammates scooped me up onto their shoulders and carried me around the bases. It felt like snagging 50 crown wins for a fortnight all at once. If only I could have kept the ball as a souvenir or as proof that it happened at all. Kip, you did it, Whitney cheered. While I wish I could have held on to the ball for sentimental reasons, it was still the most incredible day I'd ever experienced. Until 3 days later. During a pitch meeting for our next issue, we heard an even huger kersplunk sizzle in the lake outside the treehouse and rushed downstairs to find a space capsule bobbing like an apple in the water. I just made out the words Artemis II emblazoned on the hatch door when it suddenly popped open and a hand emerged, holding something that glowed in the palm of its puffy space glove. This yours, kid? The astronaut had found my ball. Let's look at some things that are happening in May and June. For birthdays on May 6, Chicago sky forward Angel Reese will be 24. On May 11th, Red Bull Reserve driver Yuki Tsunoda turns 26 years old. On May 12th, 2026 Big Air gold medalist Megan Oldham celebrates her 25th birthday. And on May 16th, Tampa Bay Lightning winger Corey Perry turns 41. On June 3rd, Orlando Magic guard Jalen Suggs celebrates his 25th birthday. June 5th, Seattle Seahawks quarterback Sam Darnold will be 29 years old. On the 14th, the U.S. Women's National Team defender Naomi Girma turns 26. And on June 27th, Houston Astros left fielder Yordan Alvarez will be 29 years old. Now let's hear about some future stars. Nia Williams, she's from Palm Coast, Florida, and was born on November 23rd, 2008. Her sport is weightlifting. Nia Williams isn't shy about posting her lifts to Instagram, even the ones where she fails. Why? She's taken the phrase, trust the process, with a slight twist. I've changed it to enjoy the process, she says. I genuinely enjoy the hard days. Those hard days have produced outstanding results. After taking up weightlifting 3 years ago, Nia won 3 youth gold medals at the 2025 USA Weightlifting National Championships. She was selected for the national team program and has continued to level up. In February, she set a state record with a 210-pound clean and jerk in the 119-pound division, and she won a pair of 3A state titles. Says Nia, you work for it and you get it. Are you a future star? If you think you have what it takes to be a future star, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskid@si.com. More than the last Mamba, Texas-bound guard Amalia Holguin is ready to show the world what she learned from Kobe Bryant on basketball's biggest stage. When Amalia Holguin and her sister Eliza were in elementary school, their parents decided that they were ready for a dog. They did what so many other basketball fans in the area had done before them in Southern California. They named their new dog Kobe. Kobe Bryant was the focal point of their Lakers fandom, impossibly larger than life. They watched his last game together in their living room. Amalia nestled into the corner of the couch nearest to the television and burst into tears when the buzzer sounded. She had just turned 8. Amalia was good enough to stand out in her local youth basketball program, good enough to play with older kids and hang with the boys. Then came a weekend tournament where Amalia's team played in the same gym as Gianna Bryant's. Amalia's parents, Flora and James, watched a typically strong game from their daughter, who scored at will and controlled the action. So did Kobe Bryant. Is number 10 your daughter? She's real special. An awestruck James could barely comprehend it. Listen, he said apologetically, his first words to Kobe. I didn't hear anything you just said. Gigi Bryant and her teammates were 12. Amalia was 10. Nearly all of the other girls had been on the same local all-star team. But Kobe saw her as the missing piece on the team, and would soon be known as the Mambas. For the first 2 months or so, I couldn't really grasp anything, she said. I was just starstruck. But that feeling soon began to fade away. Amalia became the beloved little sister of the team. It was unlike anything she had experienced before. The expectations were higher, and the work was so much harder, but the group was so much closer, too. It wasn't always easy, though. At the end of one early training session, Amalia burst into tears. Even though she was only an hour away from her neighborhood and her mother was right outside the gym, she felt homesick, like she had pushed herself further than she could ever been from home. Bryant scooped her up, he carried her off, and talked until he got her giggling. No more practice that weekend. He had a great brake pedal, said Brennan Gashmi, Bryant's personal trainer, who worked extensively with the team. I do think a lot of people on the outside looking in would say, oh, that was overkill, too much practice. But I think as a coach and as a parent, he knew what to do. Bryant took them to get manicures and pedicures. He rented out Dave and Buster's so the girls could have the run of the place. Birthdays and holidays were celebrated as a team. He was such a private person, James said, but these girls were such a big part of his life. And then tragedy struck. On January 26, 2020, Kobe and Gigi, along with six others from the Mamba family, were killed in a helicopter crash that also took the life of the pilot. Amalia was 12. The Mambas dispersed and the girls ended up on new AAU teams. When it came time to choose a high school, five of them decided to go to Sage Hill, where they took the program to new heights. They understood each other and held each other through grief and joy alike. They were best friends, but they were something more, too. Like any kid sibling, Amalia then prepared her surrogate older sisters to graduate and head off to college. That left Amalia alone at Sage Hill, where she found increasing notoriety as the last Mamba, or the littlest Mamba. She drew even more attention by scoring 61 points in her regular season finale as a senior. Through it all, Amalia came to realize how rare it was to have a group as tight as the Mambas. Even at 10, she had known that they were unlike most teams, but she had not yet understood just how difficult it would be to find more of that sisterhood in the years ahead. That impacted her decision when it came time to pick a college. I need to find a place that felt like my past, Amalia says of her recruiting framework, and like what I had before. At the same time, she wanted to broaden her horizons. I feel like I needed to be away from home and just grow as a person, she says. Her first visit was to Texas. After seeing the school and program, Amalia canceled all of her other trips. She knew where she belonged. She had to grow up a lot faster than everyone else, Sage Hill coach Jethro Julian said. She's ready to just show the world who she is. Now let's read about some freaky streaks, the most impressive back-to-back-to-back action in sports. 107 uninterrupted 400-meter wins. Starting in 1977, 400-meter hurdler Edwin Moses dominated this race for nearly a decade. Moses banked 122 straight wins, including 107 consecutive finals over the span of 9 years, 9 months, and 9 days. He claimed 4 world records and 2 Olympic gold medals during this historic run. Literally. 2,632 consecutive games played. The streak held by Cal Ripken Jr. is the longest by far. His 2,632 consecutive Major League Baseball appearances spanned 16 years and 17 seasons. It broke Lou Gehrig's 2,130 game record, which held for 56 years. Ripken's endless stream of games also included another league record. He played 8,243 consecutive innings from 1982 to 1987. 331 straight shutout minutes. The longest shutout in Olympic hockey history belongs to the U.S. women's team. At the 2026 Games, Team USA went an incredible 331 scoreless minutes, entering the finals against Canada. Even though they eventually let in a goal, the U.S. took home a gold with a 2-1 win in overtime. Serving triple-double trouble. Pick your favorite triple-double record, and it belongs to Russell Westbrook. The Sacramento Kings guard has 209 career triple-doubles, the most in NBA history, and the most triple-doubles in a single season, 42 in 2016-17. But most impressive is his 2019 league record when he notched a triple-double in 11 consecutive games. 142 PGA Tour cuts in a row. Between 1998 and 2005, Tiger Woods made the cut at 142 consecutive PGA Tour events. He shattered the previous record of 113 achieved by Byron Nelson in the 1940s. Woods was particularly strong in the 2000 season. He won 9 PGA Tour events and 3 majors. He also broke the tour record for the lowest scoring average of 68.17. 8 straight titles. The Boston Celtics hold the NBA record for the most titles in league history with 18. But from 1959 to 1966, they won an unbelievable 8 in a row. It's the longest championship streak in NBA history. Their titles in 1957, 1968, and 1969 nearly added 3 more to this magnificent feat. 4 Super Bowl losses in a row. One particularly sad streak belongs to the Buffalo Bills, a team that set the NFL record for appearing in 4 straight Super Bowls, 1991, 92, 93, and 94. Unfortunately for the Bills, they then went on to become the only team to lose 4 consecutive Super Bowls. 1,200 and 95 consecutive games with a three-pointer. The three-point line was introduced to college basketball in the 1986-87 season. The University of Nevada at Las Vegas has made the least one three-pointer. Sorry. The University of Nevada at Las Vegas has made at least one three-pointer in each of the 1,295 games it has played since then. That's the NCAA record for most consecutive games with a three. 51 games with a point. In the 1983-84 season, Wayne Gretzky scored at least 1 point in 51 consecutive games for the Edmonton Oilers. Gretzky's streak broke his own record by 21 games and included 61 goals, 92 assists, and 153 points. That same season, the Oilers won their first Stanley Cup. 111 wins in a row. From November 2014 to March 2017, the University of Connecticut women's basketball team went on an unprecedented run. They played 111 games without a loss while banking 2 national championships. The Huskies finally fell to Mississippi State in the 2017 Final Four, but it was a close game. UConn lost in overtime. 8 straight home runs. This guy, Dale Long, was the first Major League Baseball player to hit a home run in 8 consecutive games. In 1956, Don Mattingly, 1987, and Ken Griffey Jr. in 1993 are the only other players to repeat the feat. Longstreet is made more impressive by the fact that he only hit 27 home runs that season. 19 consecutive podium finishes. Beginning with the 2001 U.S. Grand Prix, Michael Schumacher made the podium in 19 straight races, with the most in F1 history. With 91 Grand Prix victories over his career, he is bested only by Lewis Hamilton with 105 wins. The two are tied for the most F1 World Championships at 7, but Schumacher holds the edge for the most consecutive wins, also 7. Now we'll look at some fast facts about Chet Holmgren. After helping the Thunder to the NBA title in 2025, Holmgren made his first All-Star Game appearance this season. Through the end of March, he was averaging 17 points a game and 18.9 rebounds. He was also shooting 55.1% from the field. The second pick of the 2022 NBA draft, Holmgren played one season at Gonzaga, where he was second-team All-American. Hillary Knight, the United States women's team forward. In the 2026 Winter Olympics gold medal final against Team Canada, Knight scored her 15th career goal for Team USA. It made her the all-time Olympic goal scorer in U.S. women's hockey history. The five-time Olympian and Team USA captain went out with a bang. Knight announced the 2026 games would be her last. Nick Kurtz, the Athletics first baseman. After a standout 2025 season, Kurtz was named AL Rookie of the Year. In 117 games, he led Major League Baseball rookies in home runs with 36, RBIs with 86, and runs with 90. Last July, Kurtz hit 4 homers against the Houston Astros, becoming the first rookie in Major League Baseball history to accomplish that feat in a single game. Did you know? With an OPS of 1.002 last year, Kurtz joined Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge as the only players with at least 400 plate appearances and an OPS over 1. We have run out of time for today's episode of Kids on the Go. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. Kids on the Go is generously supported by the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. I'm Lisa Bernhard, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Kids on the Go is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.